Welcome to the Owner to Owner podcast with your host, Jesse Tyler, part of the EO Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Owner to Owner podcast. The goal of this series is to have owner to owner discussions about a wide range of ownership experience and culture topics and bring more insight into the individual ownership experience. And it is great to have you with us. I'm Jesse Tyler. I work at Hypertherm, a 53-year-old global manufacturing and technology company that is almost 2,000 owners strong globally. I'm fascinated by ownership culture and how being an owner impacts the daily experience at work. My job focuses on the experience across career stages, from onboarding to participatory decision-making forums to recognition and to learning the stories and advice of our pending retirees. Audio is at sometimes a challenge in a manufacturing environment and the tools provided with tech, so we appreciate listener patience if we have some hiccups with the audio quality. Very happy to have three employee owners from Sebago Technics with us today. I'm going to give a quick overview and then let them each introduce themselves. We have Caitlin Abbott, who is a project delivery coordinator and has recently joined Sebago. And then we have Charlie Marchese, the director of survey operations, and he's been with Sebago for 12 years. And we have Paul Ostrowski, who's a senior project engineer, who has been with Sebago for 8 years. So Caitlin, if you could kick off the introductions, I'd love to hear a little bit more about you and what you do. Please, the floor is yours.
Awesome. Thanks, Jesse. Thanks for having us. Again, my name is Caitlin Abbott, Project Delivery Coordinator at Sebago Technics. I oversee a lot of our workload. So when we have work coming in, you know, dishing that out to the teams and project delivery, the project managers.
Excellent. Thank you. Charlie?
Thank you, Jesse. My name is Charlie. I'm the Director of Survey Operations. And I'm in a transitional phase of my career. I basically have, for the last 5 or 6 years, I've been in charge of directing the crews, organizing the work, scheduling the work, et cetera, clients, et cetera. I'm in the process of phasing all that out as I'm going to be retiring here in the next 6 months.
Wow. Congratulations. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Yeah, we just had, last year we had, I think, 48 retirees at Hypertherm. And again, for scale, it's probably proportionate to your company, but it's always exciting to hear the stories of experienced owners and that are eyeing the next adventure. So any of those insights that you can fold into our conversation today are welcomed and encouraged. Paul, could you tell us a little bit more about yourself, please?
Sure. Thank you again, Jesse, for the opportunity. Paul Ostrowski, Senior Project Engineer. Kind of responsible for a small group of some engineers, design professionals, help and assist with their work. Basically, I'm a resource for them to assist with their work. I'm also tasked with reviewing a lot before it goes to the senior project managers, basically checking from a technical standpoint, and also part of a training team that we have developed here at Sebago to help share that technical ability, basically building off of the experience of others and sharing all that.
Excellent. I appreciate it. So before we dive into the specific questions, I just want to, you know, for our listeners, if you're not yet familiar with Sebago Technics, they are a bright light in the New England employee ownership community, have done incredible work at conferences and generous with insights and resources. And so we definitely encourage you to check them out. There's a deep, deep ownership pride, which we're excited to hear a little bit more about today. So what I want to encourage all three of you is at any point, you're welcome to share your specific to your company, your sort of we and ownership pride. I'm going to try to get you to talk about your individual experiences. And then towards the end, I'm going to energetically encourage you to talk about why Sebago is a great place to work. So I'm going to see if I can challenge you a little bit to just really think about your own individual experience. That's really what we're going for with these conversations. And in part, the goal is so that other employee owners nationally in our community can be energized by what they hear, learn from what they hear. And a farther sort of stretch goal is that some of the founders of companies that are even considering employee ownership and selling to their workers, in your voices, they hear their workers and say, oh, that reminds me of so-and-so, that reminds me of so-and-so, I think this could work. So big, broad goals for our conversation, but we're going to bring it right back to you individually. And so for Caitlin to start, how do you talk about employee ownership when you're out in the world and not around other employee owners?
Well, I feel like the number of ESOPs in Maine has really grown substantially in the last decade, but it's still very unique. So I tend to find that for the most part, employee ownership isn't really well known. So a lot of my conversations can be more like informational and more technical and describing how like management roles, they really mirror most of the workplace organizations. However, employees at an employee owned company at all levels have the same ownership opportunities. And it's a more like democratic type system. You know, you don't really have to wait to move up in the company in order to have influence in the company. Mm-hmm. And you have that right from day one. And you see people's eyes kind of light up when they hear something like that. And inevitably, you know, it always leads to the discussion on culture. I'm pretty positive that you can't not use the word culture when you're talking about employee ownership and Sebago techniques, for sure.
That's great. That's great. I appreciate it. Charlie, can you add to this on how you talk about ownership when you're around non-employee owners?
Sure. Came to Sebago 12 years ago and came from basically the standard modality of, you know, an owner of a company and you were an employee under that owner. And you didn't, you know, you had say, but you didn't have much. And the thing about employee ownership and being part of an ESOP is your voice counts. People want to hear that. They want to share that. And they're open to those ideas. So when I'm out and about and away from the other folks that are parked here, I spread that news all the time because to me, it's just a bright light. I mean, where else do you go to work and get paid for going to work? It's a benefit that people just don't understand. And it's a great, my brother-in-law recently was selling his company and came to us and said, you know, how's this ESOP work? What's it like? And I said, it would be a great exit strategy. And I said, your employees will thank you for it tenfold. So for me, it's just been a wonderful experience. You know, I just look forward to coming to work every day.
That's great. Great. Paul, when you talk about ownership away from employee owners, what are some things that come to mind?
My career path is very closely mirrored Charlie's, where I came from a company that was, you know, held by two individuals. You had the opportunity to buy in, but it wasn't a ESOP. You know, as part of the ESOP, you know, the governance, there's a very openness with the books, which is very nice to hear. You know, it's comforting to know that we have these plans in place that, you know, one of the metrics we have is, you know, money on hand. So if we were to not receive any more billings coming in, we could still operate for a certain length of time. That's nice and comforting to hear during a company meeting, and not all company meetings share that information, you know, and it's a big honor and a big entrusting that, you know, here is a gentleman that started this company. You know, we just celebrated our 40th anniversary and, you know, as an exit, he gave it back to the company and you've been entrusted with something that he had started. And, you know, Walt and Charlie Brown and all these people that had helped, you know, build this company to what it is, you've been entrusted with it. It's a huge privilege and it's a huge responsibility, but, you know, we all have a say, your voice is heard. Everyone's success is your success. And, you know, along with that is, you know, you have a stumble, it's your stumble too, you know, so you want to do better the next time around. And part of, I also think that is important with an employee owned ESOP, you know, how it's structured is it's a retirement plan too. You're vested in this company, but your success is the company's success. And therefore it comes back to you as you start to transition out and retire. It's a cultural aspect. It's a retirement, a financial aspect. It's, you know, I find myself actually, you know, I congratulated another local business that was switching to an ESOP. And I think it's wonderful that they're doing that.
That's great. That's great. So I want to ask sort of the part B of that question. And there are no wrong answers in our informal conversation. Sometimes when I talk to employee-owned companies, there's an enormous message about culture. And I talk to others where it's really about wealth building and financial. So in this moment, in this conversation, is it culture or is it wealth building? Caitlin, if you want to answer and share a little insight as to why.
I have to say culture. You know, the initial thing when you're not of an ESOP or employee company, you don't come from that and you're looking to get into one, you do think financial at first, like, oh, I can be an owner. That's going to come right back to me. That's really cool. And it is. But when I walk through the doors at Sebago, it's like the culture smacks you in the face. It is like no other place that I have been. And you know, a huge part of that, like Paul brought up with Walt Stinson and our founders, that like he laid such a foundation for this company. And, you know, he really set this company up right with just the culture and the values and making that, you know, employee owned, it just became a community. you know, and that culture is strong in that community. And yeah, the money's there and it stays in that community, which helps, but it's definitely culture focused.
Great. Thanks. Charlie, what are your thoughts? Is it culture or is it wealth building? If you had to pick in this moment, which is it?
It's absolutely culture for me, 100%. I'm all in. Now, you reach a point in your life where, you know, the financial is, it's important, obviously, to all of us, but there's got to be more. I mean, the job's got to be more than just a paycheck. And for me, you know, it's working with these people that are my fellow owners on a daily basis. I mean, it's just a great camaraderie. We do so many things that are outside the box, both professionally and, you know, socially. And we just enjoy each other's company. And I mean, it's, you know, a bad day at Sebago is not all that bad.
That's great.
It's just fun to come to work with these.
That's great. When I've been around your coworkers at the conferences, and I definitely had that sense that of your energy and your culture. So I appreciate it. Paul, what are your thoughts? Is this culture or is it wealth building?
It's a culture. Really, until we have the ESOP share price meeting, I'm not even aware that this is part of a retirement pack. I come to work looking forward to whatever challenge is going to get thrown my way. You know, I take pride in seeing others succeed and sharing my experiences. It's just, you know, case in point, I mean, I had to prepare for this podcast today, but someone asked if they could get their laptop because, you know, unforeseen circumstances. Sure, no problem. It wasn't, well, wait till after this, because, you know, I found a way to make it work. And that's the thing, is we always find a way to make it work. We lift others up. We're not going to let someone fall. You know, it's just so much of culture. It really is. And Charlie, you're absolutely right. A bad day here is not so bad. And in all honesty, that some of the worst days here are still better than good days other places.
That's great. And that's great. And then that's what these conversations and this podcast is really trying to give you an opportunity to share, to go a little bit deeper into your experience. What does it feel like? It's great to, you can look online. I think when I looked the other day for a room full of new hires, I think the current national average for ESOP account balance is like $139,000. That's a significant amount, especially for many people who come in to work in our manufacturing facilities that have zero saved so far. So it's absolutely the wealth building, but I'm glad culture is important because that's really a passion of my own and why I do this podcast to contribute to the ownership movement. So it's great to hear the Sebago insights. So I want to shift this a little bit. It's not that different a question, but I want you to sort of take it in. Okay, so how do you talk about ownership when you're out in the world? How differently, or what's the same when you talk about it with friends and family? So at some point, COVID-19 settles down and we start to get back to a whole lot of parties globally that are pent up and you're around a bunch of friends, family. How do you talk about employee ownership to them? Caitlin, could you kick us off?
Yeah. Well, in the family, my dad was actually a partner at an accounting firm who does ESOP valuation and feasibility studies.
That's great.
So if you want to put listeners to sleep with modern flow and tax benefit scenarios, you lady. But on a friend's standpoint, talking about my experience with ownership, like I said, about being a member of a community that shares the same goal of overall success. And, you know, it's a purposeful work environment. You know, ownership drives just this culture of pride. We're always helping each other out. No one is by themselves. It instills, you know, a great work ethic where we're all contributing to benefit from the collective success of everybody.
That's great. Thank you. Charlie, how do you talk about employee ownership around friends and family?
I guess, obviously, in a very positive manner. I'm just always, to come to work each day and be excited about that. You know, so many of the folks around you, family and everything, like, oh, I hate my job. It's like, you know, hey, don't get me wrong. I mean, I have days that it's like, oh, no. But I mean, you know, momentarily, it's a moment. It's just a very positive experience in every aspect. And you show up and, you know, you deal with whatever comes your way for the day. You just, at the end of the day, everybody just kind of puts it behind them and you say, hey, we'll try it again tomorrow, you know? So I just, to me, it's very positive. And, you know, a lot of people, when you hear them talk about their jobs, there's not a lot of love there. And for me, I just, you know, it's been the best 12 years of my career. So, you know, I just try to make people aware of that.
That's great. Thank you. Paul, for you?
Yeah, it goes to the satisfaction. You know, I've always loved this type of work, but, you know, it's just a pleasure to come to work. You know, And now that there's, you know, we started setting up these, you know, teams that we all work together and, you know, share the workload, you know, we're all watching out for one another. You know, this Christmas, a lot of people were getting, you know, Christmas cards from team members and little gifts and, you know, a pat on the back, a thank you for everything you do. It's so much appreciation for others. It's not your drive, your success. It's everyone around you. You know, I just got done making a bunch of, you know, gifts for people, you know, at work. And, you know, it keeps getting to the point where, you know, my wife sees me do something. She goes, oh, who are those for? Oh, they're going to work. It's just, yeah, it really is more family friend based than coworkers. You can have a rough day at work, but afterwards we're going to be walking out the door, chit chatting about what you did, you know, over the weekend or whatever. There's, you know, emotions and stuff are kind of left at the door and in the office. You know, we're not going to carry that stuff out. We don't hold grudges. You discuss it and you move on. It's very forgiving, very generous atmosphere.
That's great. Thank you. So I want to ask all of you, what does ownership mean to you? And just to give you a little context for this question, in a project for the management team a little over 5 years ago, we did a global project to see what ownership means at Hypotherm. And so we asked, I think it was 302 people in all regions across all shifts of manufacturing. We asked those open questions, and the second part of it was, you know, how does your role and work impact our customers? So what I want to do is share what we learned, and all of you have used the word so far. So out of 300 global associates, the three most used words were "we share pride." So it's fun to hear all of you weave that in very consistently from the Sebago perspective. So going back to Caitlin, what does employee ownership mean to you?
It's about being a vested part of a team that works hard together toward shared goals. I might be repeating myself a little bit there, but, you know, regardless of how small an idea is, again, everybody has a voice and you're heard and you're respected. And we definitely push each other each day to grow too. We care about one another and we care about our clients a lot, and we share our success together. And we celebrate those things with each other and our clients too. You know, those, like the ownership, man, when you get through a planning board and you get approval, it's a win. You know, we all celebrate that together. It has a different sense than if you're working, you know, at a different big corporate company somewhere or something, and, you know, another planning board. Oh yeah, sweet. You got approval. Right. It's a bigger deal when it comes to employee ownership.
That's great. Thank you. Charlie, what does employee ownership mean to you?
Well, I, you know, second what Caitlin just said about, you know, we all have a vested interest here as a team. I mean, as a community, we're like a big family. I mean, when it gets right down to it, we work for common goals. And as Caitlin said, the client is like a number one. I mean, we, you know, we're here to serve the client and make sure that, you know, they walk away, that they're totally satisfied. And if they're not, what can we do to make that work? Because we want them back. And it's, you know, we got clients that have been with us for 40 years, and we've picked up new clients that are going to be with us for another 40. And, you know, I think it's important for me as an employee owner, you know, to know that I play a big part in that, but I'm just a part in the big team. So, but we all come together pretty well and meld into quite a unit.
That's great. Paul, what does ownership mean to you?
I really see it as, you know, we're all in it as a collective group. You know, successes are everyone's. Slips are everyone's, you know. Yeah, getting a planning board approval is celebrated the next day in the office. Getting a large project out the door is celebrated. You know, clients, all, yeah, we wouldn't have a job, we wouldn't have an ESOP without them, you know. And doing their projects is, you know, trying to be as efficient as we can, but then looking back and say, how could we have done it a little better? How could we have been more efficient here? And it turns into a reflective moment too. You know, instead of looking at the next one coming up, we look back and say, how could this have been better? Where did we have a struggle? Are we seeing this as a consistent thing across the board? Let's do a training on it. You know, it's identifying these points and collectively coming together, and you know, everyone has input on it. You know, when we do a training, sure, let's put it out for questions. What have you guys seen? What have you experienced? Let's all learn from it.
That's great. I hear similar themes from other employee owners, but I'm enjoying hearing these from the Sebago team, because your company literally impacts community flow, what it looks like, how people gather. It's just kind of amazing. You guys have superpowers. So most guests have a hard time with the next question. I am asking for three words that come to mind first to describe employee ownership. Often I get five or six back. That's okay. The intent is the first three words that come to mind, if you could only describe ownership in three words, Caitlin, what three words would you choose?
Culture.
Okay.
Teamwork and accountability. Accountability for sure. Taking ownership of what happens as a result of your choices and actions. You know, like Paul said, we don't blame each other or make excuses. Something goes wrong. It's a chance for us to grow together. So accountability is my number one, I think.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you. Charlie, first three words that come to mind to describe employee ownership.
Just your voice counts. I mean, I tell people this all the time in meetings, you know, or when they come into my office and they're just like, well, you know, nobody's, I've said, tell me what you want to, you know, what you want to do, what you want to change. Let's make that happen. I said, let's get it out there. I said, don't think that anything's too small or unimportant. I said, it's all important. And I said, if you don't share it, we can't talk about it. So, you know, everybody's voice counts.
That's great. Paul, for you, three words.
Definitely culture aspect. I'd probably say honor or pride in a voice.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, it's something when I welcome new associates here at Hypotherm is in the first couple of minutes, like, okay, many of us have had employment experiences where we really wish our voice matters. We're just gently warning you that though you just walked in the door, your voice matters now as if you've been here for 20 years. And for some of you, that might take a little getting used to, and we understand that. And we're here to support you over your first couple of years and often get some interesting reactions to that. And it does, I think, ownership culture takes a while for a lot of people to trust because of unfortunate prior experiences. So I appreciate your word choices and what you've shared so far. How do you describe your individual experience when all of you have already used we as a description and the team and the community at Sebago Technics? How do you describe your individual ownership experience? Caitlin?
Individual. Care a lot for the company and your fellow employees. And caring's a great way to give back to each other. This is a tough question. You know, it's larger than me, but part of me. I'm actually thinking of a quote that, and I wrote it down, that I heard when somebody was talking about, you know, should we become employee owned? Can we just try to instill a sense of ownership? And the quote was, well, if I invite my friends around for lunch, for a sense of ownership, if I invite my friends around for lunch and you ask that they stand around to get a sense of eating lunch by watching, it's not going to work.
That is awesome.
David Erdahl quote. But that's Jessica, if I'm not, I don't know if I answered that correctly, but maybe with Charlie and Paul go and we can wrap back around to me.
Yeah, you absolutely answered it thoughtfully. And what none of these questions are meant to be a gotcha. I'm just trying to peel different layers. And if it helps at all, maybe I should have given this before I asked the question to you, Caitlin. But for Charlie and Paul, what I find really interesting is how difficult it is for most employee owners to just answer about themselves. So I asked Caitlin about her individual experience and she started talking about you and the rest of Sebago. And so it's not meant as any kind of a gotcha or a trick question. It's just your reaction to that for each of you is very genuine and personal. And so if you find you can't talk about yourself and you just keep talking about your company, that is a wonderful message for somebody who's exploring the idea of ownership or sitting somewhere on the West Coast listening to this podcast is saying, oh, that's me too. I have a friend out in Maine, you know? So again, any answers to these are fine. So with a little bit more color to that, do you want to try again, Caitlin?
Yeah, yeah. I have found that working at Sebago has personally tested me on different levels more than any other place, you know, and that's because we're constantly pushing each other, but and always asking each other why we do certain things. So you reflect a lot on your actions and what you do and how you give, you know, to certain projects and to the teams. And I find that working for an employee-owned company, I am way more motivated to work on myself and to spend that extra time, you know, finding those trainings, which are readily available at Sebago. But, you know, I'm not afraid to go look somewhere else for it, knowing that everyone's got my back and, you know, CEO and COO are like, yeah, go do that. We're here to support you on all of that, you know, if it helps you individually and for the company. So I have spent way more time testing myself to be a better team member.
That's great. Yeah, a great place to work. There's no easy way to say this. A great place to work isn't an easy place to work. they don't go together. I don't think that the equation works. And so I think you've brought some color to that. Charlie, for you, what are your thoughts from the individual experience?
You know, when I first arrived on the scene and everything, I was given a great deal of independence by the gentleman running the park survey department. And I was allowed to grow, and I grew exponentially when I came to work here from past experiences. And then 6 years ago, I was given the opportunity to apply to be the director of the department and to, you know, transition the company into the future before my retirement. And, you know, I feel I brought a lot to the table. I had a lot of personal experiences and mentorship and things that I wanted to share with others that I thought would be beneficial, and knowing full well that it would be, you know, a little tiny piece of time that I'd be here to do that. But, you know, I personally, my own self-worth from that experience has been great. And when I look around and see what I've been able to share with others and contribute, I know that, you know, when I leave, I'll have left a mark here and kind of important. So I'm happy about that.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that. Paul, for you, what are your thoughts?
It's taken a change in mindset for me. You know, before I was always trying to find something that would make me stand out, learn something. I developed different programs or a way of thinking. I kind of found shortcuts. I kept all that stuff to myself. I developed my own spreadsheet. I kept that to myself. Here, that changed. I had to share knowledge, or was encouraged to share my knowledge. And that was a little difficult for me because it felt very vulnerable. I would tend to keep a lot of that stuff to myself. And I've been encouraged to find the things I'm passionate about. What I didn't realize is I enjoy, you know, as much as it was difficult for me to step out and share my knowledge, I have found great pleasure in teaching others here. And that's been encouraged. So definitely encouraged to find what you enjoy, what you're passionate about. You're encouraged to follow that and then to share it. And I would probably say, you know, the biggest thing for me was to share my vulnerability a little bit with, you know, being open.
That's great. Thanks for your open and genuine responses to that. To a personal question, I'd like to get to your aha moment about ownership. And so we ask all of our guests, and Brett Kiesling on the EO podcast does the same thing, so we can have lots of voices, lots of insights. What was your moment where you first, not when you first heard about employee ownership, but when you went, oh my, this could be a game changer. This is something special. So Caitlin, if you could share your EO aha moment, what is the moment that comes to mind?
Yeah, well, one thing I haven't mentioned yet is that I worked for Sebago for 3.5 years and then left for 3 years and recently came back 5 months ago. And in that time I was gone, I missed the culture of Sebago so much. And it kind of hit me when I walked back through the doors and I had that aha moment when my supervisor and mentor had this 6-month plan laid out for me. This, and it doesn't stop there, but you know, they didn't just, you don't just come in and sit down and read through paperwork for 2 days. You know, you have this plan, and part of it was, I want you to go around, and I know you know a lot of people here, but there's a lot of new faces. Go get to know the other employee owners. Spend time talking with each person. And it doesn't have to be about a project. It can be about what their dog's name is. You know, like, go talk to your employee owners. And I said, you don't want me to get working and be 85% billable this week? What do you mean? A totally different culture. And that was, I mean, just 5 months ago, within the first week, my aha moment. You know, it's, we care a lot about each other. We want to know each other. And when we do, we work better together and we're more successful. So
that's great. Thank you. Charlie, what was your EO aha moment?
It's a tough question. I think part of mine, again, it revolves around, I mean, transition is such a big part of my life these days because, you know, I'm going to be exiting. But my big aha moment, I think it's got a lot to do with the person that's going to take my place. And, you know, I've worked diligently with this individual for the last 3 or 4 years. And, you know, it's just the pride and the excitement that I see by how that person's matured into the position. And just knowing the quality of the job that they're going to do and that we're not going to skip a beat. You know, I mean, it's just, for me, that just reemphasizes everything about what ESOP ownership or culture that we have here. You know, how that all comes together, because I mean, people, they're drinking the Kool-Aid and, you know, you can just see it work. It's just, it's a lot of, it's exciting to know that the future looks very bright.
Thank you. Paul, what was your aha moment?
I would probably say I've had two. One was probably early on when I came to interview here. I was supposed to work for one project manager. They said, okay, you're going to be working on these types of projects. You're going to be working with this gentleman. I said, okay, sure. I came in the door and they realized I had done some past, I had some sewer separation municipal projects. I immediately got put on a project and jumped right in and was helping. And we basically did a divide and conquer. I took one piece, someone took another piece, and we just got this thing done. And now I've been, you know, somewhat involved with all the other ones we've done recently. And I enjoy it to be entrusted very early in my tenure here. I was given a project that had been, you know, in this office for some time. When here I am, a new face, never had met this client, and I was entrusted with a part of this. And that was an honor. I'd probably say the other aha moment and probably proof of, in a definition or example of how, you know, an employee-owned company works. Last year, we took a day off with the company and we volunteered up at Camp Susan Curtis. And, you know, we have a couple people that are on boards there, and there was a list of work that needed to get done. And so we all had our tasks for that day. And unfortunately, due to the, you know, some of the conditions, we were supposed to re-roof a cabin, and that turned into a larger, longer process than what we were anticipating. But the big aha moment was when people heard there was still others up on the roof, still working, and others had enjoyed lunch. Without being asked, people went and got lunch, brought it down to them, and were climbing up ladders, handing the sandwiches to them. And I don't think a single person came down off of that roof, but just chose to eat their sandwich and lunch up on the roof. You had people that had already worked 4 or 5 hours, then still again heard that others were still working, and they went, put their tools back on, and went right back up on that roof and were helping, even though they were done their assignment for the day. And I turn around and I look, and there's the president of the company standing on the ladder, slinging shingles to everyone. And I would probably say that's been a huge, huge aha moment for me. There's been, you know, moments here and there throughout, but that was a really big one. And I'd probably say that's probably one of the biggest examples of employee ownership right there. Not, you know, people didn't just say, well, I'm done my task. They went and helped. You know, you had someone who was afraid of heights standing on a roof. You had someone who doesn't know how to swing a hammer saying, teach me how to do this. You had the president of the company sitting there throwing shingles at people. And I must say, was Johnny on the spot with it. The minute you had that pounded in, you had another shingle coming at you.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, it's a colorful story, and I appreciate the insight. And just watching your body language as you're talking and hearing your voice and your pride and excitement. So I really appreciate for all three of you sharing your aha moments. So I want to look a little bit at culture and then really talk about Sebago with our remaining time. So what is one thing Sebago Technics does well in ownership culture communication? So this is something you can say you're really proud of. Understand I'm asking this so that our listeners can potentially learn from you, borrow from you, take the idea and make it better for their company. So coming back to Caitlin to kick us off, what's something around ownership culture that Sebago does really well that you can share?
There are so many things. One thing that sticks out to me is once a month, first Wednesday of every month, we do coffee talk, and it's about an hour, you know, maybe a little longer sometimes. And the CEO, president of the company, puts it on, and we all, you know, it's been Zoom the last couple of years, but we all show up and we talk about anything. I mean, this last time he said, I want to know your personal New Year's goals. And we went around and we talked about that. But sometimes it's a complete open book, you know, it's PowerPoint slides of how the company's been doing and where we're at. And there's other times where, you know, we're going through a renovation at our office, and they, management has shared, not just shared what the plan was, put little pods of teams and presented to everyone of how do you like this? What could we do better? What works for you? What works for this group? What's your feedback? We've been part of this big process when other places, I just walk into the new office not knowing what to expect, you know? But we are part of it, and it's a big deal. I mean, it's a huge investment in each individual person, and it's a huge investment for the company. And those things are always known by every single person at Sebago, no matter what your position, because we're all owners. So coffee talks once a month, really awesome.
Thank you. Charlie, what's something Sebago does well with ownership culture you want to share?
Yeah, you don't just walk through the door here and, you know all about an ESOP. The indoctrination, when you come in for your interviews and everything, starts with the CEO and the president of this company. And he, hands down, he's just a steady guiding force that leads this company. And you get that message loud and clear when you interview. And it's something that is reiterated on a daily basis, coffee talk, outside activities, participation, and just the whole unity of the company behind common goals. It's something that it's a daily thing. And, it's interesting that I sit in my office and I watch him walk around with a new candidate and everything. And I can hear, and I'm like, God, I remember hearing that 12 years ago, and it's just, it's a 3 or 4 hour interview and you get the whole thrill of it. And, we're just blessed to have somebody that's that great a character in our lives as far as, leading us, because he does a great job.
That's great. Thank you. Paul, for you?
Yeah, the monthly coffee talks are great. Even our quarterly company meetings, it's very open. We're encouraged to ask questions we also have a sense of, competition too. And, like we do the share value, we make it a quiz on who can get the closest, and it's lighthearted. It's open. I remember interviewing here and, I think at 6 months I was taken out to lunch as a check-in with the president. Like, hey, how you doing? And it's still, even now, probably a couple, 2 months ago, there's been some changes happening. There's been some responsibilities that have been added for myself and my counterpart. And, we were taken out to lunch to check in. How are you doing? It's your person, you're treated as a valued member. I got to say that probably those walk around interviews now probably take, a good better part of a day because of the number of people that we have and just the great stuff that we've all done here. And I would probably say ESOP month or an ESOP month. Every week we're doing some fun games or chili cook-off. I mean, it has to be a little competition here. Every now and then, bragging rights, we had the best chili. And we always go over the ESOP structure for the company.
That's great. That's great. And I think a couple of you mentioning the walk-around interviews goes back to Caitlin's quote at the beginning of our conversation about sort of watching somebody eat lunch or eating lunch. It's amazing what the experience is for the candidates. That can be a completely different experience than they're used to really be able to absorb, observe, and then hopefully get excited and in the future joining the team. So before I encourage you to promote Sebago and speak to potential future employees and customers about what's so wonderful about Sebago, which has been a woven theme through our entire conversation, is there anything that we didn't talk about that you'd like to? Is there a story or a comment you want to make that didn't fit in yet? I want to give you the floor. Anything come to mind for the three of you?
I said my quote, so.
Yeah, you don't have to have anything. I just want to give you a chance.
Yeah, I think that's great. I said a lot of the things that I wanted to say.
Yeah, you've done your company proud and your fellow co-owners proud. You've been a wonderful team today. So with that in mind, we'll start with you, Caitlin, for promoting Sebago Technics, whether you're talking to future customers that you're going to take care of or future co-owners you're going to sit next to and jump into on projects. What would you like to share about Sebago? Either reinforce from what you've already said or add about what's wonderful about Sebago Technics.
Sure. I'll try to do a little bit of both. We recently, in an effort to keep growing and, be part of this community, we recently did a rebranding. And part of that came out of it is we're shaping together. We're shaping each other together, we're shaping with our clients and we're literally shaping the community that we're in by the work that we do. Surveying, starts at surveying, wetland delineation, landscape architecture, transportation, civil engineering. We got it all. We're a one-stop shop. Very proud to work closely with all the departments and we really pride ourselves with the relationship with our clients and each other.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, Sebago really cares about the individuals, and the pieces all fit together really well. We'll find a place for you. And we're constantly looking for new talent. And it's just a great place to work. You come to work each day. It's exciting. You don't might know everything you're going to do that day and things will change probably 20 times while you're here. But at the end of the day, you go home and you feel really good about what you did. You feel good about the people you're working with on a daily basis. And, you're doing good things for the community and those about us and, taking care of the clients. It's, It's just it's a feel good place to work.
That's great. Thanks, Paul. Your thoughts on Sebago?
Well, it's made me look back on what I have done in my career, what I've done for projects, and to take pride in them and to realize the value that my input may have. You're always asked to look back on your projects, go visit them when they're done, realize the decision you made will have an impact. And, you know, that was, I guess, another aha moment for me is someone said, you know, I was like, yeah, I really, you know, they told us to look back at a memorable project recently. I was like, I got none. And the person took me aside and said, well, what about this? You laid out that road, so there's less curves in it. And, you know, this is a direct shot. It was for a public safety building. And they're like, the small decisions you were making will have a huge impact on how, you know, vehicles enter and exit that facility. And it took me a moment to really start to think about that and go, this isn't just another box. You know, I guess I was doing it without knowing it. And this individual made me aware. And that's one of the things is it makes you look back on the decisions we've made and to take pride and ownership in them, and then go see the final product when it's done. And, you know, we want everyone to drive down the road and go, I did that. I made that happen.
That's great. That's great. Well, I've really enjoyed the time with you. And I think our listeners will really learn more about ownership and learn more about Sebago Technex and your culture. So I appreciate the generosity of your time. And it's been a joy for me to hear your ownership pride and learn a little bit more about you as individuals and as a company. So a big thanks to Paul and Caitlin and Charlie from Sebago Technex. And we look forward to seeing you at employee ownership events and communities and seeing the work you do to transform Maine. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Jesse.
Thank you.
So again, Jesse Tyler from the Owner to Owner podcast. And we'd always love to finish with, if you can work employee owned and if you can buy employee owned. And again, really appreciate it. Thank you very much. Take care.
We'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at EO Podcast Network. This podcast has been produced by Brett Kiesling for the EO Podcast Network. Production assistance by Victoria Huerta. Original music composed by Max Kiesling. Branding and marketing by Bitsy Plus Design. And I'm Bitsy McCann.